Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Richie Firth Travel Hacker. I'm Richie Firth and I hack travel. Why have we not got new music for season three?
You've literally just thrown that on me. Never once in the gap between the seasons, even in the minutes before we started recording this, did you say, Chris, I would really like new theme music. And then you just do that and make me look bad.
I'm a man of impulse. It's just come to me. Christopher, how are you?
I'm really good, Rich. It's rare that I'm genuine with you. It is really nice to see you.
It is good to see you. It is good to be back. Here we are in lockdown three for season three of Richie Firth Travel Hacker. We hoped that season three, we would be out hacking for real once again. It's not the case. We're going stir crazy in our homes. We think that you probably are too, which is why we have decided to come back now for season three. It's not been asked for, but we believe that you want it.
Which is a line I've heard you use before.
Oh dear, that makes me out to be a nasty person.
But no, true. Honestly, it was just a conversation that you and I had once, that's all.
So we are here. Thank you for downloading the podcast. There's been an interesting development for season three. You don't just have to listen to a podcast. You can become a patriot.
Hello? You can become a Patreon.
That's it.
One advantage of us not going straight into a real hacking season three is that, as you may or may not know, because I don't think you've ever really asked me any questions about it, I burned a grand on the first season. And I mean, look, we have ads on the show, and it's really true that the revenue that we've driven from those ads have covered a few Deliveroo meals, you know, some Tango and Flapjacks, some Rubicons, and, you know, obviously, whilst we do have day jobs, this has become quite an expensive hobby. Like, yes, I haven't seen a cheque from you for £500.
No, but this is why it's actually, we're actually quite fortunate that we're not able to go out and hack properly. No. Because season one was a financial drain on
disaster.
This enterprise.
Some would say disaster.
yes, we carry adverts, but they have paid for a couple of Turkish deliveries and that's about it.
Turkish delivery sounds like a beautiful euphemism.
Yeah. Which is why we are asking for you to become patriots of this podcast.
Still not quite right, but let's keep with it.
Explain to us, Chris, what is this Patreon business?
I mean, my thinking is that people seem to like it when we go out and spend money doing mad shit trying to hack travel, as you say.
Yes, and once we've all become vaccinated, we'll be out there doing it again. Season four is looking to be amazing.
First, we vaccinate, then we hackcinate.
Oh, hacktivate! Oh, that would have been so much better.
Anyway, so we have two types of Patreon that you can become. So you go to patreon.com/travelhacker. Funnily enough, that wasn't taken. No one else considered themselves to be a travel hacker before this. We've got two offers. So you can chip in just £3 a month, and we'll just really be appreciative of you. And you will have helped fund us, like buy ludicrous snacks and travel to weird places. But if you want to go up to the £5 a month, so that first one we're calling the Rubicon level hacker. Hello, £5 Rubicon. A month is the Tango and Flapjack level hacker, which is basically for special people. We'll throw in all kinds of extras between the seasons, including bonus episodes.
Now, bear in mind that this this involves Chris and I doing extra work, okay? Which is right. You've really got to love this if you're going to pay for that. But don't think that I'm talking you out of it. Do it, because if you love it, we'll do extra stuff that the other lot won't get.
Everyone listening right now needs a vaccination.
First, we vaccinate, then we hacktivate. Get your vaccination by being a Patreon.
I think you got it right then. I mean, weird pronunciation, but the right word.
So what is it? I mean, I've got a problem with them as an organisation. So it's called Patreon.
Don't do this. Don't do this again.
So what's it called? Patreon or Patreon?
I mean, Patreon, I would say. But I think if you were to say Patreon, people would just think, all right, granddad, but they'd get it.
So what are you once you've paid? Are you then a patriot or a patriot?
You're actually just a patron, weirdly.
Well, there you are. That's the problem with the whole... Anyway, look, do it. Spend your money and we'll do extra shit.
Great sell.
Anyway, welcome to season three. Let's get underway. Coming up on the show tonight, today, whenever. So then, I decided to pull out Old Kent Road. Pink. Pink sunshine. Christopher, jab me in the arm with the good stuff. Let's have a hacksonation. What's our first hack?
This is from Sean Hennigan. When I heard this name, I thought, that sounds familiar. Chris/Richie. A recent social distance pub conversation, it must be a few weeks ago he sent this, discussed how long it would take to cover all squares of a traditional Monopoly board by public transport or by foot only. You can check with Norris McWhirter, one for the Brits there, but there doesn't seem to be an apparent world record, so this might be worth another attempt to get it in the Guinness Book. No law breaking allowed, as we know Chris doesn't approve if challenged. The sixth form study room chair fell into his car at school. Now that makes this interesting. Sean, unless this is a remarkable coincidence, I haven't seen for about 20 years, but I went to school with Sean. And the reference at the end there, Rich, and I'm not proud of this. I'm a little bit proud of this. On the last day of school in the sixth form, I got up to two things. One of them was put a balaclava in and bring a cork gun into history and pretend to shoot the teacher right. Before getting kicked out. I then upped the things by reversing my red Ford Fiesta around the back of the sixth form block and threw one of the sixth form study room chairs into the back of it and drove off and got home. And my mum and dad were just like, what's that doing there? And I was like, good question. I don't know. And then it stayed there for 3 years and they moved house.
Amazing. Having visited your neck of the woods when we did the London Overground world record attempt and yes. Seeing what Romford's like, I don't doubt any of that.
Thank you, Sean. It's nice to hear from you. It's an interesting question. I mean, Rich, where do you want to start with it?
Old Kent Road.
As good a place as any.
First off, I haven't played Monopoly for ages, so I had to I love Monopoly. It's a great game. I know you either love it or hate it, but I've revisited the board. The first thing that I've learned about this, I didn't realise that actually the British board isn't the original board, but it was an American thing. Didn't realise that.
Well, I mean, I can give you a little bit more on this, because there's quite the tale behind it. The game was originally called The Landlords, And it was invented by a woman called Lizzie Maggie, who was a famous feminist and activist. And Monopoly basically stole the landlord's game off her. Charles Darrow, is that right, Rich?
Yes.
And he released it under Parker Brothers. So fuck him. Fuck Parker Brothers. And big respect to Lizzie, who invented the game 120 odd years ago and didn't get the credit.
We're going to embrace Waddington's, who brought it over to the United Kingdom. That's why we're starting at Old Kent Road, which I believe is where Sean would like us to look at. The first thing I would say when looking at a little bit of prep on this is the route that Waddington's devised that you would go around the Monopoly board is an absolute abomination of a route.
It's terrible.
So let's just remind ourselves. Old Kent Road, Whitechapel Road, Angel Islington, Euston Road, Pentonville Road, Pall Mall, Whitehall, Northumberland Avenue, Bow Street, Marlborough Street, Vine Street, The Strand, Fleet Street, Trafalgar Square, Leicester Square, Coventry Street, Piccadilly, Regent Street, Oxford Street, Bond Street, Park Lane and Mayfair. That's the route that we're taking.
Are you ignoring the train stations?
You know, I love my trains. I'm not ignoring them, but I believe that they are anomalies regarding the route here.
I disagree, but carry on.
In what way do you disagree?
Well, is a train station a place?
Yes.
Is a train station, like the four train stations in Monopoly, places on the board?
Yes, but is King's Cross near the Angel?
Yes, it's really near. It is. Actually, in many ways, Rich, you can do this without actually screwing things up. don't make life difficult. Don't let someone write in and go, shut up, Richie, you could have done it this way.
Is Fenchurch Street near Leicester Square? Not in any way. True. Liverpool Street near Park Lane? Not in any way. Mm. Is Marylebone near Whitehall? Not in any way.
Meh.
So that is why I've chosen to ignore the train stations. But if you look at this as a route, so first of all, I believe Sean was saying either to be looking at it on foot or by some form of public transport.
Yes.
So if you start in Old Kent Road and you go Whitechapel, the route as discussed, 4 hours 26 for a walk from Old Kent Road to Great Marlborough Street. Then from Great Marlborough Street to Oxford Street via the other squares, it's another hour and 20. So you're now looking at 5 hours 46. Then from Oxford Street to Mayfair, you're adding another 31 minutes. So you're looking at 6 hours and 17 minutes to walk your way around the board.
Surely you can go quicker on public transport.
You can go quicker on public transport. The quickest way would be to go by bike, but that is, of course, not considered public transport. Sean didn't ask for it via bike. And when you refer to public transport, and particularly when you refer to the world record attempt...
I'm not going down this again. I disagree with the point. I think certainly Santander or whoever the sponsor is of the cycle should count as public transport, but let's move on.
But it's not considered public transport. But I will entertain it because in this case, I do believe that the bike is quicker than public transport. Of course, it's going to be quicker. So those bike timings are suddenly starkly quicker. 1 hour, 31 minutes from Old Kent Road to Great Marlborough Street. Then a further 41 minutes from Great Marlborough to Oxford Circus, to Oxford Street. And then only 11 minutes from Oxford Street to Mayfair. So you're actually only looking at around about 2 hours, 10 minutes to do it on bike.
It sounds like, even as a keen cyclist like myself, knowing London, that sounds impossible, but that's really exciting.
But at the moment, I'd say it's actually very possible because no one's around in London.
True.
So Sean, I think the early answer for this one is 2 hours 10 minutes by bike. Get yourself back on a bike. That's the best way around the Monopoly board. And Waddington's, take a look at yourselves, because the order you've put those squares in, horrendous.
Good hack, Rich.
Thank you.
We'll ignore the fact that you've missed out 4 very important tiles on the board. And we'll ignore the fact that the controversy around bike count as public transport because I'm on board with you, so I'm going to go with you on this anomaly. I thought, as a just a little aside, I thought I might bring to your attention richardwalkslondon.com. Really nice little site. I mean, you can imagine what it is. It's a guy called Richard who walks around London. Mm. And he did this. So he moved to the UK. A few years ago, he did this. And so it turned out for him to be a total walk distance of 54 miles.
Wow.
And he admits he did, you know, he wasn't gunning it, and he did stop to take some photos and get some food and water. But, you know, with a pretty focused mission, he walked it in 12 and a half hours.
Well, I mean, I'd say he's gone pretty slowly there.
Well, for a start, he stopped everywhere he was supposed to.
Right. What was his mileage again?
54 miles, 87 kilometres.
Hang on, I'm getting my calculator out because that's absurd. One second, please. I'm adding up the mileage of my calculations. And I've come up with 178. That can't be right. I must have missed out a decimal point. One second. Didn't we have issues in the first season?
And many.
The second season with my maths. 19.6 miles. That's absurd.
The train, the weird zigzag in the trains will add some to it. Plus, you're probably wrong.
I'm not wrong. I reckon he's American.
We both know you're wrong.
I don't think so. 19.6. And we only did it in 6 hours and 15 minutes. So, Richard Walks, shut down your website. That's useless.
Okay. So, look, you're Mr. Hexagon Curtain sat at home preaching about it. He actually did it. Yeah.
Don't you criticise my curtains.
I just want to give one final little comment from Richard when he did this. It was lovely outline, and he's a kindred spirit. You will feel a bond to him when you read this. He says at the end, I actually felt surprisingly good, which was just as well, as I still had to walk another 4 miles back to Old Kent Road where I'd left the car.
Oh, where I left the car, which takes us all the way back to season one and you leaving the car in the car park of South Mim Services at the M25 and picking up a parking fine. That's what took us down the financial black hole that is this podcast.
No, look, it wasn't good that, yeah, it wasn't good. the
first hack,
the stupid flights from like Bournemouth Airport, wherever it was,
Southampton,
to Bournemouth to Liverpool Airport. That trip was the one that did it for me.
Southampton to Manchester.
The only good spend on that. The only good spend on that. Actually, there was a couple of good spends. There was the beer at the airport. There was the TGI Fridays, and there was the cans on the way home.
And the flapjack on the train to Southampton.
Solid flapjack. Become a Tango and Flapjack subscriber to Travel
Patriot Games.
Rich, what happens when you mix the colour white and red?
Pink. Let's move on to our second hack of the day. Yeah. Hack number two.
Hello, hackers. I'm a little late in finding your podcast, but really enjoying it. I was particularly inspired by your record setting of the London Overground. Oh no, he hasn't listened to it all yet. Once we travel again, I'd like to try a similar record setting run in Massachusetts, trying to visit all the stops on the MBTA commuter rail system as quickly as possible. Here's my question, or maybe more of a travel hacker rules clarification. I don't think it's possible to visit all MBTA commuter rail stations in a day. See routes and timetables here in case you disagree. And he sent a link, which I've clicked on. I don't know if you've bothered.
No.
In that case, should the record count my total time over 2 days, or should I recruit a friend and see how fast we can visit all the stops between the two of us in a single day? Thanks, Bradley.
Hello, Bradley. You are so defeatist, my friend, but we'll come back to that early observation in a minute. Let's have a little look at the MBTA commuter rail system. That's what you're here on this podcast for. Massachusetts. It's a biggie. It's bigger, first of all, than the London Underground. The total mileage of the MBTA system is 398 miles. That is compared to a mere 250 miles of the London Underground. Now, as a result, Bradley's thinking that he can't do it. The London Underground only serves 270 stations and 11 lines. Your Massachusetts system, only 141 stations on its 13 lines, and has a top whack of 79 miles per hour. The average speed of the London Underground is 21 miles an hour. So no, I didn't open up Bradley's link and I didn't look at the timetables. But I'm absolutely certain that if you can do the London Underground in a day, I'm certain that you can travel the Massachusetts commuter rail system.
Now, and it's getting worse.
The Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority system in a day. I'm positive of it. If we were to go on what he's talking about with the rules, did Bradley say that he was thinking of getting him and a mate to do it and see if they could both do it in a day, but he does one bit and his mate does the other?
I think the implication is they would divvy stations up.
I mean, that's not a record.
Totally.
I mean, that would,
I'm on board.
That would decimate any rule-breaking system. You can't have Usain Bolt saying, I'll run the first 50 metres. Linford Christie, you go and run the second 50 metres. That would not be a brand new record.
Although it does pose like an interesting new challenge on one of these station acts. Let's say you gave each of us 2 hours each. What's the most stops we could do individually in 2 hours and see who could do more?
Oh, my word. Now, that's a completely different thing. I would love to take you on in trying to visit the most stops in 2 hours. That'd be brilliant.
Whilst I'd love to give you the pleasure of that, I'd rather just follow you around whilst Jemima beat you.
Jemima, there's a name I haven't heard for a little while. But I'm certain we could beat her. Even with you tagging along and being the voice of negativity, absolutely certain we could take
Realism.
Her down.
So look, what have we got for Bradley here? Like, he's written in, he's from Boston. He wants some vibes from us.
Why is he wanting to go around Massachusetts if he's from Boston, first of all? What's he dodging in Boston?
Okay.
What have they got on him? Is he a fair dodger?
Okay. Well, how's your American geography, Rich?
I know where it is.
Where's Boston?
America.
Yeah. Like, America's got... Here you go, let's do... America has 50...
states.
The principal city in the state of Massachusetts is...
Philadelphia?
Oh, my God. Okay, let's do them. The city of Boston is in which state?
Okay. Is it in Massachusetts?
I mean, let's maybe move on.
Okay. I speak now directly to Bradley. Now that I've put a few things together.
What, shall I go?
No, you hang around for a few seconds. Bradley, get out and do it and email it back. I promise you can do it in a day. Absolutely certain. Just get up and get off your backside. When I did the London Underground in a day, I started at 5:50 in the morning. That's why you can't do it. You're being defeatist, my friend.
And when you failed to do the Overground, you wouldn't let us start at that time of day because you had other priorities.
No, we did do the Overground in a day. We just didn't break the record.
Because the station we needed to stop at wasn't opened when we went past it. I would like to refer you and Bradley to an article from 2013, June the 24th. Hands up now, there might be more trains and more lines on the MBTA these days, yeah? A group of students from MIT. I'm not even going to go into what that is with you right now.
Massachusetts College.
Yeah, that's the one. In one. They attempted this in 2013.
I bet they did it in a day.
Raphael Dumas, William Chow, Katie Pincus and Michael Gordon. Saturday, 22nd of June, 2013. And they did it in 12 hours.
There you go, which is around about the time that you could do the London Underground in, which I think was 13 hours for the record.
Well, look, Bradley, there's your target, yeah? You take on these MIT bods and beat them in the name of Richie Firth Travel Hacker.
They have not extended that place since... 4-mile extension 2016. to Wachusett Station. So that's it. I reckon that record's still doable. Get out there and do it, Bradley.
Do you want to introduce an ad break?
Yes. Right, let's get some Turkish. Here's some ads. Chris, what happens if there hasn't been an advert there? Who is playing for my Salma Beatty?
For your what?
My Turkish.
What did you call it?
My Salma Beatty.
Salma Beatty, is that what you would go for?
That's my order, yes.
I would always go for a tavukshish. The truth of the matter is, Rich, unless people got an advert then, we're going without our Turkish takeaway this weekend.
Please become a patriot.
Close enough. What's the big yellow ball in the sky?
Sunshine.
Now, Rich, do we have time for me to do this very quick anecdote from someone? It's not that quick, actually. Or do you want to go straight into the final hack of the show?
If it's not quick, let's go straight into the final hack.
Gretchen, I'm really sorry. We're running out of time in today's show to read your message. I promise I'm going to bring it back to every single show.
Episode 2, can't wait to hear it. But
good,
now,
good luck to you too, Gretchen. It's nice to hear from you. Rich, who is your favourite short-haired American noughties pop singer?
Pink. Here's a final hack.
Hi, Chris and Richie. Great podcast. 1! Very funny. 4! Sounds good so far, yeah?
It does, yes.
Perhaps.
Let's average it out on 2 per statement.
Sure. Well, actually 2.5, because 4 + 1 is 5.
It's 5. Two. Massachusetts.
2.5. Great podcast. Very funny. Perhaps not where it's meant to be. Another 4! Not quite sure where he's going with this now.
So that's 4 + 5 = 9. Divided by 3. That's 3 average exclamation marks per statement. I'll take that.
And 1 shitty comment per 3 sentences. Okay. The message. Anyway, I have a lovely cousin, that's a euphemism, who lives in the West Highlands of Scotland alongside Loch Aylott. I live in Hindhead, south of Guildford.
Your Scottish is terrible. That sounded more French. Loch Aylott.
Loch Aylott.
Loch Aylott.
I have travelled up to see her twice. First in a car with young kids, quite some years ago now. 3! On average.
I'm stopping the exclamation mark factor now.
When one asked, are we nearly there? When we were on the M25 after Heathrow. Followed by 4 wonky smiley faces. I've got a big time for this person. I like you. Halfway point was the Scottish border. 3! I mean, one, that's funny. She's keeping that average up for 3! Marks. The journey took 12 hours. She's very remote. The second time was by train. I went alone, and the train company offered a fantastic fare from Hazelmere to Loch Aylott. It was by far the most picturesque train journey I've ever had, from Glasgow to Loch Aylott. The entire journey also took 12 hours. So my question to you is, please devise a trip that can take me to see her in A, less than 12 hours, and B, cost effective. No hitchhiking. 2! Which drops us just below the average of 3. From Elaine Vass. P.S. Thanks, Elaine. P.S. I can't wait for a future dictionary of Firth classics. Hacktivate. To support my chosen words in my Scrabble games with my hubby. I'm finding it hard to justify their validity. 5! Putting the average of exclamation marks back over 3.
Well, we'll take that. Elaine, a lovely message. I love the idea of a Firth dictionary. Should this never take off financially, that
putting
could
the
be
dick
the next
in.
Way. Hey?
Nothing.
What?
I didn't say anything, Rich.
Okay, I felt like you abused me. Should this not take off financially, a dictionary could be a good idea. Let's have a look at your hack. So from Hindhead to Loch Aylott, there may be people who are not overly familiar with where Loch Aylott is. Fort William is in Scotland. It's north of Glencoe. Loch Aylort is west of that. It's a long, long way away. That is a long drive to do. However, I've not done the exact same drive that you have. However, I can tell you I have done a similar one. So we're looking at around about 564 miles that Elaine is talking about here. When I was a kid, I used to live in Eastbourne, and we went on a family holiday to, what's it called? Isle of Skye, that's it.
Isle of Skye too.
Very good. My dad and my brothers went up on the train. Me and my mum drove up in the car with all the luggage. We left Eastbourne. This is where you're going to have to do some of the maths, Chris, because I think we were quicker than what Elaine was. We left Eastbourne at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can remember being in Stoke for 7.
A.M. still.
A.M.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds about right.
3 hours from Eastbourne to Stoke. I remember
it's
us
a good journey,
being,
that, but that time of day, that's doable.
I remember us being around about Glasgow at 11 o'clock.
Flying.
Yeah. Then I remember us being around about Fort William for around about 1:30. And my mum saying, let's call your dad to let him know that we've got here safely. I then turned to my mum and said, this is his new BMW. Do you really want him to know how quickly we've got here? So she left it a couple of hours, rung him, and he went mad. But the point is, we left at 4 a.m. and got there at around about 1:30. So how many hours is that?
9.5, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, so it's doable, Elaine, if you put
your
foot
down. Sorry, not 9.5, 11.5.
11.5. 12 hours was her parameter, wasn't
it? 10.5.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Sorry,
nine,
Rich.
10,
it was
11.
It was 4.5 hours.
Right. I'm going to add this up myself. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh,
one.
God.
It's 9.5 hours.
I never thought I'd be 41 and just sat here on a video call whilst a man counted with his fingers.
It's 9.5 hours, Elaine. So my first message would be, put your foot down and you can do it quicker. I'm going to make sure that I'm looking at the eyes and the video of Chris as I suggest this next one. The next thing to do is to drive to Southampton Airport.
like a which punch in the stomach.
Which we did in season one. When we were trying to find the quickest way to get from London to Manchester. And I said that it was to drive. We got the train to Southampton Airport and we flew from Southampton to Manchester. Now, sadly, COVID hasn't had a very good effect on Southampton Airport. Chris, do you remember when we went there and all the flights that were going off? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was about one every 6 days, it felt like. All there was, it was basically a glorified pub.
No, there were way more flights than one every 6 days. There were flights going off to all sorts of places. Sadly,
like Manchester.
Like Manchester, like Newcastle. Sadly, at the moment, there's only 2 flights a day from Southampton Airport, one to Guernsey and one to Jersey. And to be serious for a second, that's really quite depressing.
I mean, is the pub still open?
I hope so. What has contributed to that is Flybe doesn't exist anymore, which is who we flute with.
Oh, flute with?
Yeah, past tense of fly.
We flute.
Yeah, that's who we flute with.
I can't wait for a future dictionary of Firth classics.
So because there's no Flybe, there's barely any flights from Southampton Airport.
That's really sad.
So it is really sad. And for a second, yeah, all the people who worked at, I don't know, Avis Rent-A-Car and... Yeah.
All that negative publicity you gave them, I think did
no,
for them.
No, I gave them positive. You were the one that was moaning all the way through. It's people like you that killed it, not COVID, all right? On sure. Your hands be that red blood.
What?
So, Southampton Airport is no longer an option, sadly, to get up to Glasgow. So then I had a look at the train and yes, indeed, you could get from Hazelmere up to up to Loch Elot in good time, but not much quicker than the 12 and a half hours. And you were looking at something that was cheaper. So then I decided to pull out National Express.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yes, interesting indeed. Christopher, how much do you think it's going to cost to get from London Victoria coach station to Glasgow?
It could be as low as 35 quid.
National Express, at the moment, right now, when you hear this podcast, aren't operating. They have ceased to operate until the 1st of March.
That was one of the most pointless questions I've ever been asked.
Not really, because I'm about to give you an answer.
Right.
However, they open up again on the 1st of March. And you could travel from London Victoria coach station on the 1st of March. And if I just close this tab, here we go. 8:30 in the morning, you would leave London Victoria. You would get to Glasgow at 8:35 in the evening. So the quickest coach possible is 12 hours, 5 minutes. And it costs £29.90. So, what's her name? Hazel?
Elaine.
Hazel.
She's from Hazelmere.
That's it. That's where I got it from. Elaine or Hazel, whatever you're from or your name is, you're not going to get there any quicker than driving. But by being on the coach, it might just be cheaper.
Okay, Rich. It's a nice sell for National Express. I don't know how much they've paid you. But, okay, how many minutes walk is it from Hazelmere to Victoria Station?
It's around about 45 minutes on the train to Waterloo.
Okay. So that wasn't my question. But I think you're saying it's probably an hour to an hour and a half just to get to the start of your journey.
Correct.
And the end of your journey is Glasgow?
Yeah, I'm really giving
which
you...
Which is a very long way away from
Loch Elot.
And whilst this is so bad, Rich, this is so bad. Whilst we're on that, Loch Elot isn't even a proper lake. It's more an estuary.
The bottom line is, Chris, there is no better answer to the hack than the problem that Elaine has come to us with in the first place.
Well, there you go, Elaine. I hope that's enlightened you. You could alternatively cycle it in 51 hours.
Oh, dear. Was it whack or was it hack?
Rich, there has been some hacking today. I think genuinely you half hacked the first one to look at it optimistically.
Thank you.
You merely commented on the second one, so that's hack, whack, neutral. And the third one was a big steaming whack.
Oh, I've got a migraine. I don't know what's just happened. I hope you've enjoyed episode one of season three. If you'd like to get extra bonus stuff and actually pay for this shite, then become a Patreon by visiting patriotgames.org or whatever our URL is that Chris is about to tell you.
Go to patreon.com/travelhacker.
If you'd like to email us directly with some hacks that you'd like us to hack, Travel Hacker Podcast. Why is your head in your hands? Come on, we're trying to sell our merch here. It's travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com.
I mean, in many ways, this has been a textbook season opener.
Oh, this Patreon's going to die on its backside, isn't it? Please.
We've already got six, Rich. Come on.
Have we? Yeah. Amazing. Brilliant. If you'd like to become a patron of Travel Hacker, Richie Firth Travel Hacker Patreon, then where do we go?
Why are you still talking?
Where do they go? Patreon.com/travelhacker. Is that it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And if you'd like to email us, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. If you don't fancy paying for extra shit, just do what you keep on doing and it'll keep dropping in without you asking for it.
You're the first adult I've seen who is not a colleague or my family in this year, and you've made me cry.
Oh, brilliant. Pink, pink sunshine. Pink, pink sunshine. Pink, pink sunshine. See you next Tuesday.
Hi,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.